Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and today welcome Adam C. Hall, author of The Earth Keeper, who will share his real-life story about one man's journey from an earth conqueror to an earth keeper. Adam was seemingly living the American dream, having business experiences in real estate, finance, human innovation, transpersonal ecology, environment, and personal undevelopment. Finding himself miserable, and in order to change his life, Adam had to essentially undevelop his life as it was. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you? Great to be here with you.
And it's great to have you here today. Adam, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, each show and author, through their own transformational life experiences, share ideas and strategies for learning to master our own inner guidance, that guidance system, or connection to universal energy, and also a higher respect for ourselves, life, our planet, and the universe. In today's episode, Adam will share his authentic, revealing story about the inner world of the human psyche and how it is possible to awaken to our own full potential, finding the joy in living, loving, and becoming all that might enhance our life and the life of others. Adam, please share with us something of what was going on in your life that made you know something was missing and that life was going to really shift for you.
Well, happy to do so, Cheryl, and good to be here with you, all the listeners today. And I was really living a life that I had aspired to. I had aspired, Cheryl, to really achieve that quintessential American dream, and that's what I did. I was blessed, and I married my junior high and high school sweetheart, and we had three amazing, lovely daughters. I'm actually a grandfather twice over now, and built the big house, the successful business, the cars, the country club, all those kind of accoutrements that many of us aspire to. And ultimately, when I got to that place and I said, well, I've achieved what I set out to do, but something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Something was nagging at me.
I had the same experience that when I was, I would say, about 42, I took a look around at my life. I had everything. I had a home. I had children. I was successful. I could travel. I had achieved monetarily much more than my parents. And my heart, it actually hurt. And I asked myself, is this all there is? There must be something more I was born to do. And with that question, many people started to come into my life, and many teachers, and I am such a totally different person now than I was in the first half of my life, and a much happier, wiser, and more relaxed human and spiritual being. So I feel we had a similar happening at that point. Can you go on and tell us how the shift happen?
Yes, and it wasn't that there was an ache in my heart. There was a pain in my stomach.
Mm.
And so I had really found myself living in a world that what I described as being a predatory type of capitalist,
mm-hmm.
just chasing the dollars and materialism, and if I only had more of this and if I only had that type of syndrome, then, oh, life would be so much better. But ultimately, one day, as I was driving down the Pacific Coast Highway going to work before the sun came up, you see, Cheryl, I live by the law of the jungle. And the law of the jungle is when the sun comes up, whether you're a lion or a gazelle, you better run like hell.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the four insights you discovered as a result of working with other earth keepers. I think you said there was the dog eat dog, going for broke, dying to be happy, some of these insights you became aware of were how you were living according to the laws of gathering money, right? And being very much part of the materialistic world, but you were not following your heart essence or the love.
That's right. And then ultimately, that morning as I was driving down, working on a large deal, you know, popping the Tums and having it not go right and just finding myself angry and in a state of stress before the sun had even rose for the day. And then a dog ran across in front of the highway, and I slammed on my brakes and practically had a heart attack. And I realized that this is not the life that I wanted to live, that I was unhappy, and that I too, like you, Cheryl, just started to ask some questions. And that's really where we begin, by asking some questions, looking, what I found, to look in the mirror, to be truthful with myself,
mm-hmm.
and to ask the kind of questions of just, why am I here? What direction and where do I need to go to fulfill my heart's desire to be a greater service to humanity and others and to my family? And so I begin those questions and really entered into, you know, some would say that's a midlife crisis. Others would say it's the dark night of the soul. And I say it's a midlife awakening.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter at what point in time you are in your life's journey, it's an opportunity to awaken to your greatest potential and your calling. And all you got to do is show up. You don't
yes.
have to do anything else.
I agree. I mean, we are born with this divine spark within us as children. We're aware of it and the joy we have in life. And little by little, situation after situation and belief after belief that's imprinted upon us and within us, it takes away a little bit day by day of that spark and joy. And then it's a remembrance. It's going back to remembering who we are as these sparks
yeah.
of infinite potential. And that's what an awakening is. And many, many people are having it now at this time. We're going into the next century of personal soul development and a personal responsibility for each of us to be the best version of ourselves that we can, so that we can create a peaceful world, because it doesn't come from outside of ourselves. It comes from within us. And people like you and I, who are discussing what happened to us, are sharing that point that we had to go within and rediscover who we really were, not who the world expected us to be or wanted us to be, not even if we wanted to please everyone around us, because that wasn't really what we were born to do. Right? So in the foreword to your book, The Earth Keeper, by Alberto Villaldo, who is a medical anthropologist, he says, you met him in 2005, and
yeah.
he imparted some of his ancient indigenous wisdom that had the power to radically alter lives, and it altered your life, too. Can you tell us something about that? He told you and shared with you what an earth keeper was and saw that you were becoming that.
Well, in the great news about stepping in and stepping on the path, so to speak, and are taking the hero's journey, as Joseph Campbell would call it, or beginning that inward journey, is you're not alone. And there are others that are here to help us and support us. Some are seen, some are unseen. One of the great supports I had was through Mother Nature. And my great friend and brother and teacher, Alberto Villaldo, runs a fabulous school called the Four Winds Society. And does expeditions all around the world, but primarily in South America. And the real teachings of the indigenous culture, Cheryl, is really around the Pachamama, around Mother Earth and coming into relationship with the Earth. Because in that relationship, we too can attune to our natural biorhythmic natures, that we can really feel the depths and experience the depths of who we are and what our potential is. And in that place, we can find not only the support of those that can help us, and they come in your life, so long as you're showing up and not hiding away. And I showed up out there, and I begin to meet all these great earth keepers and wisdom keepers, and Alberto was one of them, and a powerful one, because when we come from a place of honoring our, not only our own lives and who we are, but we come from a place of honoring other people and honoring the planet, and we are in the right relationship with it, then miracles happen.
Miracles are happening all the time to people who are awakened and to see it. They could be small or large, and they're happening to everyone. But some people are so deep into their physical life and worries and the fears of the ego that they are not able to let go of that. And you need to do that in order to get to that place of co-creating your life and making these miracles part of it at all times. Now, so an earth keeper would be like a person who's giving back to the world using their talent and awareness of the true nature of healing in life, and perhaps a gathering in groups dedicated to preserving the natural order of life and nature, undeveloped, as you say, for future generations. So we want to really maintain the ecological balance of Earth and as evolving conscious humans to teach personal responsibility. Would you say that's a good part of what an earth keeper is?
Very well spoken, Cheryl, wonderfully said. And an earth keeper is a term that really grew out of the indigenous cultures, primarily in the Americas, Native Americans, Mayans, Incans as well. And they're really, earth keepers are one that tend to the sacredness of life, from even from a little pebble to an animal, to our plant, and certainly to others and ourselves. But it tends to the vitality of our humanity, so that our humanity will thrive and not be in a constant state of fear and survival, so that we can embrace the totality of our human experience. It doesn't mean fear goes away all of a sudden, or we don't have a need to survive. Of course, all these things are part about being about a human being, but it's about balancing the full capacity of our lives. And no doubt you found that yourself, Cheryl. And to do that, what I found is that I needed to get out into the world, go out on what I refer to in the book as vision quest. And I share in the book, The Earth Keeper, how I did. And certainly it can be inspiring, certainly not the only way, but how to get out on the path, how to be living, tasting, feeling, interacting with experiences that not only are transforming our lives, but they're helping us to die away gracefully, the old junky stuff, to birth into being our new expression.
But you also had to go back to remember your simple core beliefs. When you were going through life-changing decisions, you thought back to what was important to you as a younger person, and what was simple. You know, like children love superhero stories. You know why they love it? Because it gives a simple way to approach being good, caring for other people, truth, justice, and sort of the American way or the world's way to care for the planet and everybody else, and use your talents and abilities to do that. So what were some of the core beliefs that you had to reinstate into your life?
And I like how you've framed that, Cheryl, because It's exactly right. The things often that we love the most and cherish the most seem to get put away in a file, like innocence, for example, or just plain laughter and being silly again about how funny life can really be. And in other words, when I got out of school, I put a tie on, it became serious. And then ultimately just locked myself into a story that was all about who I was supposed to be, or what I thought I was to be, or where I thought I was to go, and got lost in all of that we really see every day on the news and in our society. And now all of a sudden, when we can recapitulate our story, we can let go, we can undevelop that old story instantaneously, we are recovering and reclaiming the beauty that is innate within us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what color your hair is, what size you are. That's all irrelevant. What is relevant is the fullest expression of your heart's truest desire and sharing the truth of who you are and why you're here, because each and every one of us has the gifts to share, and each and every one of us, especially during this time of great challenge and crisis in the world, can make this difference. And without each of us, then it won't ever happen. But together,
well, that's what we're talking about, the beauty coming from within, the laughter from within, the smiles from within, the possibilities from within. That's why this show is called Healing from Within. It's all about multidimensional true healing, which is merging ourselves together, our mind, our ego, our physical life, and our soul life, to know who we are as a total conscious beings. And I liked very much that you wrote that you realize the innocence of children should be protected. And we were just talking about that. You just mentioned the purity of children. And there should be a children's bill of rights guaranteeing their right to express themselves. Each living entity, no matter what age, has a soul remembrance. You discussed this in the book, and I tapped right into it because it's something that's very important to me. So we want to honor people, children, women, men, anyone of any religion, of any gender, of any race, as having the same divine essence or soul being. We may not be equal in our innate, we have our mind or has different intelligence. And some people are mathematically inclined, and some people are artistically inclined, and some people are athletically inclined. We may have different physical attributes, but within, our inner energy connects us to each other and to everything in the universe. So I liked very much that you said that it's very important to recognize the innocence of children and to allow them to be and become who they have to be without so much input or negativity, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I'm so glad you're bringing it up, because of course our children, they are our future.
Yes.
But the idea of the theme, a little bit of what you touched upon so importantly, just on the show here, is about reclaiming that within ourselves. And to knowing that this is our truth as well, that we too have this greater vitality, this greater sense of innocence and joy. And it's one thing I found to talk a lot about these things, and then another to go out and do it and claim it and grab it, because it's yours to grab. It's yours to claim, so to speak. And to do that is really where the challenge comes. And this is when I really talk a lot about undevelopment in the book. I talk a lot about how to make room so that our inner selves, our inner world, can fully blossom into its fullest being. And doing that is really about getting out out on the path, taking those first steps, having that greater experience. You know, I went to therapist after therapist, read 1,000 books. You know, I go to workshops on occasion. That's all fine and good. But unless we can grow corn with it, unless we can really bring it into our experience, then what good is all that?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's letting go. Actually, what you're talking about, and I was told by my mother in spirit through a medium that I needed to learn to let go and think less with my mind and feel more with my heart, and I would be a medium. Now, this was about 12 years ago, and I went, oh, I don't know about that. And sure enough, that is exactly the teachers and the experiences I needed to develop that part of my spiritual gift was there, and I embraced it because I was already told that it was something that I needed to do and could do. And I think that's what you're talking about here. So let's go back to, there was some experiences that you became aware of that molded your thoughts on love and death and what was really important for you to pursue now. And I'm thinking about your childhood experiences. For example, you saw a dead man on the side of the road. And you saw some other traumatic experiences happened that imprinted within and on your, at the cellular level of your being, that created some pain or sadness, and rightfully so. Can you tell us something of that?
Certainly, and one of the things that is a theme of the book, The Earth Keeper, is really to go and look into those parts of my life or in those corners up deep within myself and my psyche of, you know, what have I hidden away? What really traumatized me, both physically and emotionally? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who you are, we are humans and we all have these emotional and traumatic events. Now, some are could be deeply physical. Others are deeply psychological. Notwithstanding whatever it is, to the degree of what it meant, the importance here is that when I went back to visit these places, to hold myself in love and to nurture my feelings of tears that flowed from my eyes so that I could fully embrace the trauma of moments in my life that imprinted me, that were affecting me in ways that I didn't even know. For example, the idea of death, which of course is something that traumatizes all of us, whether it's a loved one or it's somebody on the side of the road in a car accident, those are the things that create imprints in trauma. Maybe it seems innocuous, but don't be so sure it's so innocuous.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's part of our destiny and life plan, because I don't think anything is random. And I think you're seeing that experience, and later on having a young girlfriend who was killed, that you found out about, was for you to recognize how quickly life changes and how love needs to be expressed. And so when you came to a point, I believe in a time where you realized life wasn't what you wanted it to be, you were ready to make those changes because you had had these deep experiences. And I myself have had some of those same experiences, having seen as a young girl about 8 years old, a truck turning over and a man jumping out and he was killed. Only eight, and I saw that. And I was at the beach one day in meditation when I felt a young boy. I saw his face, and he was swirling and going down, and he drowned. And as I walked to my car, I saw police and helicopters, and I instantly knew that they were looking for that boy. And I had been part of that experience somehow. So what I'm saying is these experiences make you think about the importance importance of living each day and each moment and sharing the beauty of your spiritual gifts and love and smiles, as you said before, and not buying into the negativity or frivolousness of life or the minutiae of the little things, and looking towards the bigger picture, right?
Yes,
that's
very,
what you
very
started
much so.
To want. That's what you wanted, and that's what I wanted eventually when we put it all together. Now, can you tell us who Lila is? You mentioned her and a couple of other souls or guides you became aware of as you developed a greater connection to the world of the unseen or spirit. Who is Lila?
Lila's an angel in my life.
Oh, how beautiful.
And you know, whether you believe in angels or not, the point really is that within ourselves, we can attune deeply. Some will say that's the inner voice. In Eastern traditions, it's the sage. It's the one that is holding and giving advice and wisdom in a way that really can support a greater conscious death of what the old experience is and a birth of our new life that is now unfolding. And Lila came to me one day while I asked God to take me because I couldn't take the depths of what I was going through at the time. And she came and essentially was very, very present in my life and still is on occasion to come into my heart and come into my being and to be present and to share the deep wisdom and the deep teachings, not only of the ancient ones on the planet, the ones that have come before us, but also to help my soul fully express itself. And if you don't have that angel in your life, I would put forth for your consideration. You may not have it now, but I would imagine that you may have it going forward.
Well, I know, Adam, as you discovered, that each of us has a series of guides or higher vibrational beings or angels or loved ones in a higher dimension of energy, because every thought we have, every expression of love that we give is kept. It cannot be destroyed, and it exists somewhere in an informational field beyond here. And I think that's where Lila came from. And I also know you wrote in the book, you were questioning what is love, and you heard, Adam, you are love. And that is what these beings want us to know. We are eternal. We are unique. We are all connected to each other, and we are all love. So I want to thank you, Adam C. Hall, for sharing your courageous, eventful life story that led you to your gradual realization of a more meaningful approach to your relationships, business involvements, and to the discovery that the creative power of the universe is accessible and can provide guidance and wisdom for a happier, healthy, and prosperous life. We can triumph over adversity and become more fulfilled and dynamic human beings. In Adam's book, The Earth Keeper, you will find a roadmap to a better future personally and collectively. Go to theearthkeeper.us for more information and to purchase this book. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have discovered, as one man was made aware of the restrictions and emotional debris of his early life, his fears, his past life traumas, and his beginning awareness that there is more to life and love than he was allowing himself to be part of. In the journey to self-awareness and self-actualization, we may all find the connection to our inner energy or soul wisdom and reach out and up, showing us we are not alone, have spiritual assistance in the form of guides and loved ones, and can co-create the story of our lives through change, action, and the persistent need to ask questions and then truly listen within to the answers that are there for each of us. It takes courage, faith and trust in the bigger plan of universal source for us to take advantage of the opportunities that arise out of our work. Biggest challenges or failures in becoming an earth keeper, as Adam did, or an intuitive healer medium, as I did, we now value life and being of service to others and have found peace and a joyful appreciation of nature, work, and love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear stories of transformation, courage, and a zest for life in searching for the answers to questions like, who are we? What is life all about? And how may I have a purposeful and divine life journey? Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you very much for listening.